So where does Brexit go from here? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. UK Prime Minister Theresa May's plan to manage Britain's exit from the EU was not just defeated yesterday, it was defeated by the largest margin by which any UK Prime Minister has lost a parliamentary vote ever. Now, May is facing a no-confidence vote in Parliament, which could lead to the collapse of her government, though signs are she'll survive that vote. But just to recap, there is now no plan for an orderly or managed Brexit. So, what happens now? Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
10 weeks to go before Britain is due to leave the EU and the government is in disarray, the country in limbo. Many exporting businesses fear the UK will now leave the bloc without an exit deal. Major new trade barriers could then shoot up between the UK and its biggest export market. Prime Minister May says she'll try to wring some concessions from Brussels, but the EU's chief negotiator, Michel Barnier, says she must drop some of her key demands and, after Brexit, accept close alignment with EU rules and regulations. Brexiteers say that sort of close alignment wouldn't be true Brexit. Britain wouldn't be free to forge its own free trade deals with countries like the US. It wouldn't control its own regulations. If she survives today's no-confidence vote, Prime Minister May says she'll consult with senior figures in opposition parties to find a way forward. But amid the morass of options, not one commands the support of a majority in Parliament. The turmoil continues. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now, watching that continuing messy turmoil are markets. It may seem a surprise, but the British pound actually rose slightly after the vote, as there were some interesting takes on it afterward. Andrew Hilton is director of the Centre for Study of Financial Innovation. Good morning.
Good morning.
The head of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, what was his response to the vote?
He has pointed out, I think absolutely correctly, that the rebound in sterling that we've seen today, which is not enormous, but it's significant, the rebound really was to be expected because the vote against Mrs. May's plan to leave the European Union was so overwhelmingly, historically overwhelming, that an awful lot of people in the markets now doubt that we will actually leave the European Union, and alternatively, that if we do leave, it's going to be extended. It won't be in March, it might be sometime next year. So he sees that as being the main driver of sterling in the markets today, and I think he's probably right.
But if it is such a mess, then why do people, including the head of the Bank of England, think we're now less likely to have a hard Brexit?
Well, I think we're less likely to have a hard Brexit because that's the only thing that a majority of MPs can agree on. So whatever they do, they will do to stop a hard Brexit. Now, there are options. We are finally hearing something from Brussels suggesting that there are ways around this. The first thing probably to do is to extend the deadline. Let's give the Brits a little bit longer. During that time, maybe things will shake out. But Britain, I think, in the eyes of Brussels, needs more time to sort itself out.
Andrew Hilton is director of the Center for Study of Financial Innovation. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future up 38 points.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias, and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Concierges can sometimes be modern-day miracle workers. They find tickets to a sold-out show or get a table at some impossible-to-book Michelin-starred restaurant. These days, there are also lifestyle concierges that manage everyday tasks for the ultra-wealthy. And there's a thriving business in training to become one, Janet Babin reports.
There are hotel concierges who merely greet you in hotel lobbies. And then there are the ones who wear the golden key pins, the Le Clay d'Or concierges. The French name and flashy insignia may seem pompous, but according to the organization's YouTube channel, its service concept is surprisingly egalitarian.
Being able to look after everyone from a king to a couple of honeymooners on their first big trip.
Le Clay d'Or member Michael Romay worked as chef concierge at New York's iconic Waldorf Astoria for more than two decades. Now he works for private clients and trains new recruits. The group was formed in the 1920s, but Romay says its simple motto endures.
In service through friendship.
Le Clay d'Or has a wide network of friends, about 4,000 concierges scattered through 80 destinations. Over the years, Romay has arranged for countless private jets and yacht trips. He can also help you write your beloved's name in the sky or get out-of-season fruit flown to your table. Romay admits the clients can be difficult, so he teaches recruits a coping strategy.
We never take it personally. We just continue to deliver consistently the same level of service.
Certification is elaborate and takes several months. A sample lesson includes how to properly shake a guest's hand. Away from hotels, concierges are appearing in the everyday lives of the wealthy. A report from iBizWorld estimates sales in this slice of the industry will climb almost 4% during the next 5 years to $4.4 billion annually.
John, Michael James here. How are you?
Brooklyn-based private concierge Michael James started his business 15 years ago. He says 2018 was his busiest year yet.
I just wanted to go over some stuff about the St. Bart's trip.
James calls himself a lifestyle advisor. He knows how to turn his clients' needs into a reality.
You know, most of my clients can buy anything they want. The only thing that they can't buy is time.
James charges clients a minimum of $15,000 a year. That gets you six concierge services per month. A thriving economy over the past decade has made concierges like James and Romay busy catering to rich clients. As for us mere mortals, we can try the many app-based concierge services that may be more within reach. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.